Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. With me on our newsmaker line is Janice Person. Now, Janice and I have connected in the past in the world of agriculture. She once worked for Monsanto, and then when Monsanto and Bayer combined, she decided to go out on her own. Her company name is J.P. Loves Cotton. We're going to find out what in the heck Janice is doing out of St. Louis and how she's traveling and how things have been impacted on her and her business. Janice, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to connect with you again.
It is so good to talk to you again. It's been a while since I've caught up with you, I think.
Yeah, Memphis maybe? You were living in Memphis, and I think maybe it was a gin show, or who knows, you know? It was
Maybe a 140 conference? I don't know.
It could have been. You know, that's back in the day when Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, had 140 characters. That's how long we've been in the system. We still talk about 140 from time to time. All right, tell us about J.P. Loves Cotton. What is that company, and what are you doing?
Yeah, so I've worked my entire career in communications and PR and small companies and large firms. And I decided to take the skills that I developed there and put them to use for various clients. I do a lot of public speaking. That's what I've been doing a lot of for the last 2 months. I also have been working with different clients on, say, rebranding what they want to do or thinking about how they want to communicate with employees to get new initiatives underway. Kind of all kinds of different communications things because, you know, after having been in the corporate world for 20 plus years, I've gotten a lot of different skill sets. But public speaking has kept me busy recently, and I think that's probably what caught your eye this past week as I talked a little bit about the coronavirus.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, of course, public speaking in many places in the United States, I would imagine, is coming to a quick end. I know here in Iowa, they're recommending no more than 50 people, and now it's down to 10. They've closed the bars and the restaurants and libraries and schools, and it keeps going on and on and on. Hospitality industry, interestingly enough, is kind of trying to figure out where they're going with regard to hotels, but some hotels are also closing. So it is a whole new world. I want to talk a little bit, though, about some of the things that you're doing. You were involved in corporate communications with a giant company for a long time. I imagine you're seeing some of those skills go back into small to medium-sized companies, but are you seeing a difference in how communication is being done in smaller companies than you've worked in the past?
Yeah, I actually have had the chance to work with small companies, too. They just happened to be traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
Right.
But 600 employees is still pretty small in most people's world. But, yeah, I think today's world where you can set up a company so easily and you can become a specialist about something that other people just don't have a clue about, or you can get together a small group of friends that have similar skills and start a company.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so many opportunities for you to build trust with customers and build these relationships with customers. And that's a lot of what I was actually doing on the corporate side. But what that looks like from a small business is very personal.
Yes.
And very different from some of the other, you know, it's hard to feel totally connected to a huge corporation, but part of what we were trying to do at the corporation is remind people there are individuals there. And I think those things work together really well with small businesses. But in small businesses, you have such great faces on the front line every day.
Right.
that ability to help people understand your story and what you're doing and what you're committed to and where all your common ground is so easily done that it's easier to create a brand for a small business now than ever before.
It is. And, you know, key to all of that and key to communication, I would suspect, is the ability for whatever business, small, medium, or large, to issue a feeling of transparency in their organization. Would that be accurate?
Transparency is such a critical component these days of trust. I told somebody the other day, if you don't put it out there, people think you're hiding it. And it's not necessarily the way of the world, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But in today's world, people expect to have open access to information and to ideas. And so this transparency push that we've really been under for the last several years is something all of us need to think about. How can we become more transparent? Because when you become more transparent, not only do you head off some potential issues, but you really have the opportunity to garner trust in a deeper way.
Sure. And, you know, an absence of transparency where there is a void, somebody's going to fill that void. And sometimes that filling of the void isn't with the best information. So you have to be very careful.
My goodness. It's amazing how people can fill a void. And we do it to ourselves at home when we don't hear back from somebody or whatever. But when it's a business, there's an extra layer of space already.
Yep.
And it does start filling a void very quickly, and it rarely goes in your favor.
When it comes to, you know, and this is one of those areas we're in uncharted waters right now, but when it comes to employee recruitment and retention, and I know, you know, all across the United States, we've been hearing from business leaders that say, we just can't find people. And my comeback is always, well, why don't you try to keep the people that you have, which would be kind of a nice thing, and institute some programs where you can do, you know, stay interviews. Why are you staying here? And then publicize that and allow that to be your message. What, Janice, what tools can business best use to reach out to the general public and tell their story?
You know, it's amazing how well, if you engage with your employees, how well they will do for telling your story and getting people to understand the incredible awesomeness you offer. It can be as simple as, in small businesses, you know, setting up a little bit of one-on-one time to say, hey, I just want to catch up with you and hear if you've got any ideas for us and da da da. You don't want to make it so it's intimidating, like a big meeting with the boss.
Yeah.
But I think for most of us, and especially for younger employees, so if you're thinking, you know, millennials or, you know, now we have Gen Z behind us, you know, they want to be heard.
Sure.
And I want to be heard,
and
I'm not
do.
A millennial, right? But so often we get busy in our day to day and we don't think about that. I think also just occasionally going, you know, and having lunch for the group brought in or things along that line and sitting there and talking not only about what's happening with the family and stuff, but talking about some of the things that may be coming up. And quite frankly, so many small businesses don't feel the need to have sort of regular company meetings. But a 30-minute meeting once a month to say, hey, folks, here's what we're doing well. You know, we have a challenge over here, that kind of thing. It keeps employees aware of what's happening, and it keeps them motivated and focused, and it gives them the ability to take that information out, if that's what you're interested in, and share it with others. I have seen so many companies do well because they kept employees engaged in the company,
right,
and talking about the company. I mean, you have no better advocates than the people that you see routinely. I'd say the same thing for your big customers. You know, make sure you're actually talking to them occasionally. It's very easy to get busy focused on getting the work done, and forget to cultivate that part of your business. And I'd consider that all business development, you know, to keep your customers happy, keep your employees sure. happy. You're continuing to develop your business. And that's a really critical skill to do. There are a lot of different ways to do it, but that's a few of them.
Yeah, and one of the things that lots of folks don't appreciate is how much more it costs to go out there and find a new customer versus keeping the ones that you have happy and engaged. And go ahead.
New customers or new employees, right?
Right.
It's so much better for your business to keep good people around and keep people happy compared to having to go out and find new and recruit new and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I'm absolutely with you.
All right. So let me come back to tools to be used. You know, you and I have been in the social media space for a long, long time. And back when Twitter was 140 characters and beyond, there are so many tools available to small, medium, and large companies to connect with consumers. And now when people have some significant, so we say, time on their hands, what tools do you suggest to companies that they might take a look at to keep engagement going between the business and the consumer?
You know, one of the things I've, a few friends of I who are all in communications, one of the things we've noticed is the number of emails that we're getting that seem to be the business expressing some outrage or frustration or sense of panic or something, you know, that seems more business related than customer related. And I've gotten them from a number of different brands that are pretty big scale, as well as some smaller ones. Remember, when you're talking to customers or employees, who your audience is. I would say for a lot of us, we've spent time building our Facebook followings because as a small business, most of us are looking at a small geography, and that's an easy way to do it. I would, if you have extra time now and you haven't got a good email list together or something, I'd work on that some because, you know, the way the world works, people don't always see your Facebook pages,
right.
Posts and things along that line. And the email list, if you do it well and you send people emails they want to see, it can really enhance your business. Now, I think that takes looking at what would the customer be interested in. And so if you're in a business that maybe an accountant right now, those people are, God love them, they're overloaded trying to figure out what with the postponement of tax deadlines and stuff, what's going to go on. So it's probably not the best time. But really, for a lot of us, getting good financial information from our accountant or financial advisors or whatever, it doesn't all have to come from them.
Right.
They're reading different things that we don't get to see. And passing that information along to us goes, wait a minute, every time I get good information from these guys, and it reminds people how valuable their connection to you is. I think the email list is one of the things that I would focus on if I didn't have anything else. And most of us do that through a website, whether that is blogging to own sort of the expertise in our area or whether it's other means. But you can also take those email lists and you can put them to use on your Facebook page if you want to reach all
sure.
those same people.
You know, I have to tell you this story. I was in Arizona in January, and I have from time to time, as you have, addressed various groups on the utilization of all types of media, from traditional media to social media to the business blog, all of these things that go on. And I had a person from Canada who owns a small business near Vancouver, well, medium-sized business near Vancouver, walk up to me, and he said, this is what he said, Janice, you'll love it. He said, you know, I saw you speak about utilizing the business blog to connect with consumers 5 years ago. And I thought it was a bunch of bunk, but I thought, maybe he knows something that I don't know. And I started doing that on a regular basis. And dang, you are absolutely correct. People now know who my business is, what we do, how we treat customers. And he said, it's been remarkable. And so owning your own voice is important, isn't it?
It is. How many times when we want to get some kind of service do you go online and look? You also may ask your friends locally, but in today's wholly mobile society, yeah, we don't always have friends that use the same services we do in the same areas where we do. So online is amazing. And it's just like people use Netflix for binging. When people are looking for a service or a product, they start looking and suddenly they go deep. And so if you've built content on something, yep, over time, they will continue to read it and they will go, wow, these people have such great insight on what I want or what I need, that it makes it a lot easier for you to make that sale. The amount of time you then end up needing to spend with them in person goes down dramatically,
sure,
too, because you've already got so much information out there.
That's so right. And again, just as a standard piece, you don't have to write War and Peace every time you're doing your business blog. You know, you can keep it relatively short, but still do quantity as well. And that does deepen your SEO and search engine optimization and all kinds of things. Good stuff.
And I know most small business owners are going to say they can't write a blog post every day, and I wouldn't suggest they need to.
Correct.
But I do think a couple of times a month is very reasonable for almost every business.
Yeah, because every, you know, sure, every Janice Person, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Janice Person is JP Loves Cotton. She has a company based out of St. Louis. You're absolutely right. You don't have to be a slave to this, but and every business has a story, don't they? I mean, they may not think it's important, but those stories, customer service stories, things that you've done well, things where you've maybe messed up and that you learned from that and trying to do better, that transparency allows the company to have, well, it's as if you are having a window into their soul, if you allow that expression.
It absolutely is. And I think more and more people like to hear, why are you doing this?
Mm. Yeah, what's going on?
You know, like, what is it that, I mean, for me, a lot of people want to know, why am I called my business JP Loves Cotton? Why am I interested in doing public speaking? You know, there's a lot of those kinds of questions. And so making that kind of information more readily available for, mm-hmm, people, helping them understand, I don't only speak about cotton.
Right. Yeah.
I do love it, but I speak about other things too. So, you know, you want to show what you do and showcase what you can offer. And that makes a big difference for people because they start getting a feel for you even before they call or before they get you, you know, in a meeting. And people like that. It's kind of like taking away the blind and blind dating.
Right.
If
there
it comes
go
to business, it really does give people like this ability to think, oh, wait a minute. No, these people may match up to me. Now, a lot of times people worry that, wait a minute, if I help them understand exactly what I am, that will niche me in too far.
Mm.
I have not found that to be the case. What I have found is not everybody has to be exactly the same.
Right. Well,
right.
How boring would that be?
People appreciate, you know, I'm not at all an accountant. So I want an accountant who actually loves numbers, right? Because that's not my deal.
Yep.
Right. So I think it's not that people will judge, oh, I'm not like that or blah, blah, blah. But they're looking for your passion in an area, your knowledge in an area, you know, sort of your commitment to customers and sort of your willingness to be really open.
Final question for you, Janice. Janice Person, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest from the great city of St. Louis. You mentioned while we were talking off air that you do a lot of work in the agricultural community, especially with farmers, and helping farmers understand consumers and consumers understand farmers. What are some of the misconceptions that you've faced over the years, and how do you fix that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it stems from as we were going through this change into transparency being the expected norm. And how do you do that in a way that also honors a little bit of my privacy, right, for farmers? Mm-hmm. A lot of our farmers are pretty independent
yep.
and pretty private people. And yet people are looking at their food and very interested in a lot of different
yes.
things about it. And so how can we balance those things out? That's probably been the bigger piece of challenge for agriculture and food over the last several years. I think a lot of it is getting people comfortable with why the changes are happening in the world. You know, quite frankly, a lot of us weren't paying a lot of attention to our food 10, 20 years ago. Farmers were doing things that were new and different. Agriculture was introducing innovations to help us be more resource efficient, help us grow better food on smaller spots of land. But we also have large numbers of people to feed. So how can we pull those together? I talk about that a lot. You know, each crop has different things that people take and wonder about. I have a podcast myself called Grounded by the Farm. And this week, one of the things we talk about is cow farts. And, you know, is that what's changing the climate and really presenting us with such issues?
Hmm.
But sometimes it can also be about mushrooms or
right,
whatever
yeah.
it is.
Whatever,
right?
Yes.
You never know.
Yeah, it is a way. And of course, your podcast, we will have links to all of this, ladies and gentlemen, up on our radio blog. But how true that is. And what a great way to be able, you know, we didn't talk about podcasting, but you brought it up. What a great way to greet and meet and explain to people and engage people on their time rather than ours.
Exactly, exactly. And frequently I get questions in from other people as I say, here's what we're going to be talking about. Do you have any interest? A lot of farmers are blogging for themselves yeah. or for their farms, and a decent number of farmers, a pretty good number of farmers have their own podcast. So, you know, we're in a very much a changing world, and farmers are certainly embracing those changes. But, you know, a lot of us in the cities don't know farmers, so how do you find them? And
right.
that's part of what we're trying to do.
How fun.
Is make some of those connections.
Janice Person, ladies and gentlemen, on our Newsmaker line, we have been talking about communication and transparency and branding and tools to be able to use, from email to blogging to the opportunity to do podcasts. And what's so surprising to me, Janice, is that you know, last year there were nearly 200,000 podcasts started in the United States. Yeah, many of
it's
those.
Amazing.
Yeah, many of those are just perhaps weekly or monthly. But what I find that's interesting, and because I've been doing this a long, long time, is that people get into this and they get excited about it, and they maybe throw out 5 or 6 episodes and realize, wow, this is a hell of a lot of work. And
it is a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It is. And, you know, and then they go, well, forget about it. I'll just write something on a blog. Good stuff. Janice Person.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the company's name is JP Loves Cotton, and we, of course, will have links to that. Janice, thanks so very much. Stay well in St. Louis, and it's so good to reconnect with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. I loved it.
Once again, that was Janice Person, and we will have links up on our radio blog so that you can get in touch with her. What a great opportunity to reconnect during this difficult time, I know, for businesses all over the globe. Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Janice Person, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.